From the creators of Stacks and Second Left, welcome to The Sauce with Don and Till. Your go-to for honest conversations on all things life, love, business, and everything in between. Because every day needs a little sauce.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Sauce with Don and
Till. Hi guys, welcome back.
Wow, we're very friendly today.
We are friendly. We are doing a love episode. It's all in love.
So you're going to be telling everyone how much you love me.
Yeah,
and vice versa. All the things that make you tick about me.
And all the icks.
Ticks and icks.
Ticks and icks.
Oh my God, that's like a literal, like that could be a whole episode of ticks and icks.
This is true.
But I feel like ticks and icks would be dangerous.
Yeah, ticks, icks, and divorces.
No.
Eek.
D word. Let's not talk about icks.
I am in a good mood because we're going away this weekend. We're going to Paris.
You know, we're
going
to record in Paris. I told you.
I think, yeah.
I've got to get those handheld microphones so we can take that.
Okay.
So I have this vision. I have this idea. We're going to sit on the bed and I put up the tripod. Sounds dirty, doesn't it?
Yeah.
and we record our podcast.
Wait, that was... I saw something and it was saying like the only people that bring tripods to a holiday are influencers and porn stars.
Yeah, I'm not an influencer.
Yikes. Moving on.
All right. Topic for today.
Love.
Go.
You and I. So I thought we could like chat through kind of how we met, the OG story, what we first thought of each other. That you can just drown me in compliments. But we were saying, just to throw in there, something very important, which I think people should know in a relationship is love languages.
Yeah.
I think love languages are like, it is so important to understand your significant other's love language and also to understand yours.
I think understanding both is key. You know, but I think like that's one thing that's good about us, because when you understand how the other person feels validated and how they feel loved, you're able to communicate with people on their level.
Totally.
Like I can tell you things that you need to hear, which ultimately will make the communication lines better and vice versa.
It's funny because a love language, I think, doesn't necessarily... Like, my love language is words of affirmation, but your love language is physical touch.
Mm.
So I wouldn't... Me giving you words of affirmation, sure, you love it, it's lovely, but that doesn't give the same effect as it would for me receiving it.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that you have to understand your love language, and then you have to kind of... comply with, that's not the right word, but you know,
reciprocated
well to the other person's love language and give that love language to them, because that's how they feel loved. Mine is gifts.
No,
I think my number one will be words of affirmation.
Number one is words of affirmation,
but I like details, like I like specifics.
But I think everyone, because there's five, I'm not going to list them because I'll forget them, but like there's five love languages, and I think the misunderstanding is that it's not subjective to like one person only needs one. It's like there's like an order of what, because if you apply yourself to every single one of those, the other person will appreciate every one of them and needs every one of them. It's just understanding, like, you know, for example, if you don't like physical touch and I just want to give you physical touch, that's going to repulse you.
Yeah, that's when we get an ick.
No, but true though, you got to understand what the other person loves. And
you can do like your love language tech quiz, right? Like you can go online and do a love language quiz, and there's books about love language as well.
Yeah, but I also think like some people just overcomplicate it. You just need to understand what...
You don't have to do the quiz, is that what you're saying?
No, you can do the quiz, but for you to understand your love language, you don't need to do the quiz.
Yeah, you kind of just know things that make you feel really good.
And the other
thing... I'm a big words girl.
You are a big... Yeah, yes, you are. The other thing that's... no, you like a lot of words. The other thing that's, I think, important in that scenario is that... Well, the other thing that's important for us in our relationship is that we tell each other. Like, even just recently, last week, we were talking about love languages, and I was like, babe, your love language is words of affirmation. But then I was like, but what does that mean? Like more specifically,
what about it?
You just want me to tell you, oh, your hair's nice. Or it's like, oh, I noticed you cut your hair today, and I love the, what did Mitch cut? I love the layers that, no, but being
any,
detail.
Any
oriented.
Detail. Yeah. Like, so John the other day said to me, oh, he was, you're watching the podcast, right? Or listening to the podcast, right? He said, I'm a great interviewer.
Oh, that's right.
And I want to know why I'm a great interviewer. Like, that's like, I love a compliment, but it needs to be detailed and long and go on for hours.
No, but that, but that's the effort I think people misunderstand. Like, I always, like, people say relationships require work, and people think that it has a negative thing or a negative connotation to it. But I think, like, for me, it's awareness, and it's being cognitive to the fact that, you know, there's two people involved, and I always want to please you, make you happy. Not just please you, but I want to make, you know, I want to, if I'm saying, if your love language is words of affirmation, I want to say the right words.
Yeah.
Not lazy. And I think
you're a cutie.
I try my best. But I think, no, but people get lazy. It's like, so for example, sometimes you can get into this routine, like every month or so I'll buy you red roses, and somehow it always lands on a Friday. But that becomes a routine. That's not really an effort. You know what I mean? It's not like, there's no thought. It's like, okay, I can just jump onto the website, the app. Select, repurchase, whatever, but that sort of doesn't have the meaning behind it. It's
but the thought and the meaning is in what you write in the card, and that's actually more important to me, what you write in the card, than receiving the actual roses themselves.
And in that example, I always try and write a different message. I never do the
repeat. I would notice if you were repeating a message. Like, cards are special to me, words of affirmation, just, communication, I think. I think that's something we do really well, is communicate.
Yeah, and being open and honest to it. Like, if people always ask us, like, what's your secret sauce? How are we able to work together?
How long have we been together now? Seven years. Yeah. That's amazing.
7 years since I changed your Facebook status update. Tell the story.
Okay. So, Don and I were, like, dating. And, like, dating. Don and I were dating. And he was over at my place, and I was in the shower. And I came out of the shower, and I, like, went to my phone. I had all these notifications on Facebook, and I never get notifications on, like, I don't use Facebook. The only time I use Facebook is like for Girl Gang or VIP group now, but back in the day, still didn't really use Facebook. So many notifications, and I was like, oh my God, what's going on? Anyway, I opened up my phone, and suddenly I'm in a relationship, and it was like, Don Robertson is in a relationship with Matilda Murray, and somehow it just automatically accepted it. I'm not sure if you hacked into my phone. I mean, we're married now, so I accept the, I moved on past the hacking after into my phone. And yeah, suddenly we were in a relationship. So that was fun. And we got so many comments and so many likes. Not from anyone that I knew, because like I said, I wasn't like on Facebook, but you had a lot of Facebook friends.
Yeah, you know, Facebook royalty.
I only have like 20 Facebook friends now. Seriously.
You just did a massive call.
But I just don't use it.
That story doesn't sit well with me, because I remember we were at a family function, and there was the time I think I met your sister and family.
Christmas, wasn't it?
It was November. Oh. Somewhere around the 27th of November specifically. And I...
Is that Thanksgiving? I think that was... Yeah,
I was giving thanks. And I specifically remember having such a great time, and I thought, all right, listen, like, people are confused. We've been dating for like 6 months, since July or something, with no title, with no anything. So I called you on the way home, and I was like, hey, is this official now? Are we something? And you were like, yeah, cool. And I was like, sweet. So I'm just going to update Facebook.
Did you ask me to be your girlfriend?
Yes, 100%.
Do people still do that? Like, because you have to like really ask, right? Like, you have to...
I don't know the rules.
Like, because once you're dating...
No, but there's got to be a definitive moment where it's like, what's that Zac Efron movie where it's like, are we officially dating? Or there's got to be a moment where it's like, hey, just to double check, we're exclusive.
Mm.
Even though since from the time I met you, we were exclusive, but.
Mm. But it is funny. Like, do you have to like ask someone to be your partner now? I think so. Consent is key.
No, 100% you have to ask someone. You can't just kidnap someone and be like, hey, you'll do.
Update their relationship status on Facebook.
I accept you.
Yeah. But that was, I think, that was 7 years ago now. So we've been together for 7 years, and you were saying that we're really good communicators.
Yep.
We, except for that bit where you stopped communicating with me. Okay, so yes, we've been together for 7 years, and I think we've grown a lot and learned how to communicate, because I think at the start of our relationship I was quite closed off, and I didn't really like to communicate. You used to tell me that sometimes.
I think there's a lot of complexities. Like, there's a lot of our friends, I watch their dating processes, right? And I watch I observe, and I'm like, so many people have all these like restrictions and complications in the beginning of their relationship, and they're trying to identify X and whatever. And I think back to our start, you and I came from different worlds.
Completely.
Like, literally different countries, different cultural backgrounds, different...
And different sides of Perth. And if you're from Perth, you know that means a lot.
No, it's like different territories. Yeah. It's it's one of those stories where I think like a lot of people today would think that we're not supposed to work out, right? And I think for me, it's such an important lesson. I try and teach it with so many young people. I'm like, you gotta get to know your person. You gotta get to, there's something about you I liked. So if you guys remember from the previous, have we told the story on video form about how we actually met when you came into the store?
Because the first one would have said about me complaining about the peanut
butter. We touched on that. So you were a complainer when we first met.
Yeah, nothing's changed.
Hey, I must have some deep psychological issues with that being the turn on. No, I think we had a chemistry. We connected. Something about it connected. And I think even at that point, I was in a really bad space from a previous relationship. But there was something about you that I was super open to. The chemistry was insane, and I just went with it. And I'm highlighting that because I know a lot of people will have like these icks that pop up and they won't pursue it, and they'll come up with all these excuses as to why not to make it work. But I just sort of went with my feeling and pursued it. And I was just, you just kept learning and growing. And I think we're getting to the point where, you know, we were not the kind of communicators we are today, because when we first started dating, we were texting and you were super dry and one word answers. And I still remember specifically saying to him, like, hey, can you use emojis in your texts? Because I don't know where I stand.
I was
with
a bitch. I was so like a hard ass. But it's so funny because I remember, I think something that really attracted us to each other is that we weren't too desperate. Like, there was no desperate energy. Yeah. And I don't think desperate energy is attractive in any situation. Like, you don't want to be too desperate and you don't want to be too keen. Like, I remember, for example, like I said in the first, I think I said it in the first podcast, like, Don would constantly have these girls coming into his store, right? And I don't know, apparently they were there to buy like protein, but I think they were trying to like get some free tights or whatever they were trying to do. Don and I were dating, and if I'm walking past and I see someone in the store, a girl in the store, and Don's talking to them, I don't come in and I'm like trying to be like the alpha. I just like took my lunch break somewhere else that day. Like, I wasn't trying to kind of prove a point I was just chill. Like, sure, I wanted to go and hang out with you. So if I saw a girl in the store, I thought, oh, that's annoying, I wanted to see Don. But I carried on. Like, I'm not in there like trying to prove my point, trying to win, trying to like come across as desperate energy. But I don't think there was any desperate energy.
There wasn't, but there was also like on the other side, like, I also wasn't playing games. It was just the nature of the industry and the job at that time. Like, I wasn't a player. I wasn't trying anything or communicating with these girls. If anything, I was super committed to you. I only had eyes for you at that stage. So when you'd walk past, remember, like, I'd be selling my proteins and, you know, selling my tights in store, and there'd be people in the store and see you walk past, and I'd see you look in and you're like, nah, there's skills, and yeah, I couldn't be bothered, and you just walk. And I don't know if there was like a psychological thing that engraved how much I started falling in love with you, but I just felt so disappointed every time you walked away. And that wasn't really fucking with me. And I was like, I wish these people could just leave so you can come back.
But it's so funny because it wasn't like, that wasn't a game plan. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't thinking, I'm going to make him miss me. I was just doing my own thing. Like, if Don was there and Don was available, I'll go and chat to him on my lunch break. If he's not, I've got other things to do. Like, there's no desperate energy.
But we never played games.
What I mean. Like, we weren't playing games. If you want to text, text. If someone's busy, then they don't have to text. Like, if I'm big on that too. Like, if someone hasn't replied to you straight away, maybe they're just busy. Maybe they don't want to, like, we don't have to read into everything. You just kind of got to let it go and go with the flow.
You got to become comfortable with your person. With yourself and with your person. I mean, it seems something within the company that I emphasize. I remember particularly one night, you upset with me. And I've got a rule, like, I will never go to bed upset. Like, life's too short. I never want to wake up in a state where there's no peace when you wake up. And I remember, I don't know, you upset about something, obviously something I did, of course. And I wouldn't let you sleep until we had a discussion about it.
Turn the lights on and sat me up.
Yeah.
I remember.
But I think it's such a great, it's a great way to live. Like, in every scenario, you just sit with the person, have a discussion. My team hate me for it. If there's disagreements in the office or within the company, we're going to sit and we're going to talk it out. We're going to find the root of the issue. We're going to come up with a solution, and we're going to come up with a way to avoid that and make sure that we're all on the same page always.
You know, we hate it at the time, but we're also grateful for it. Because, like, for example, I remember, you know, if you have a fight with your partner and you're like going to bed and you're in a fight, you also want, like, you don't want to talk to them, but you also want them to talk to you. Like, you want to fix it.
No, everyone
you
don't wants the yeah, attention. That's what I mean. That's why
so
you do it.
That's what, like, so at the time you won't admit it, but it truly is the best thing for the situation. And it is the best thing, it's the best thing to do, and it's what you truly want, even if you can't admit it at the time. So I think communication is the absolute key. Something that I think we communicate really well, and how we communicate really well, even my dad says it, is that we often express our emotions and our feelings. Like if we are grumpy, if we are having a bad day, if, you know, we're just like easily irritated, we will say that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's like something that you or I have done. It's just the way that we are, and we know to like tread lightly, or we know not to kind of interrogate and push the other one. I think it's a really great thing that we do. I do it in all areas. I do it to my friends. I do it at work, whatever. Like if I'm like, oh my God, I'm so grumpy today, or like, hey guys, just so you know, like I'm really sensitive today. You just know, and people are like, we're human. You're allowed to feel however you want to feel. But I think it is also our responsibility to make the other people that we are with aware of how we feel.
Yeah.
So they know how to act and they don't take things personally.
No, it's vitally important. And that's as simple as communication is.
Mm.
Just don't play games. Don't say things you don't mean. Don't assume someone else is going to understand what you're saying. Over-communicate. Make sure there's clarity between people. The other thing I think that I appreciate about our relationship, like this is a therapy session between us. Like, is there a psychologist in here that's listening to us? One thing I appreciate about our relationship is that even in areas where we're lacking, like let's say I'm not giving you the words of affirmation, you'll come to me with your little voice and you'll be like, hey, babe.
My little voice?
Your little voice. I'm not going to imitate it. And you'll just say, hey.
A little bit of baby talk goes a long way.
you're hitting me with the baby talk. I love you with all my heart. Just to let you know, I don't feel appreciated because you haven't written me a card with nice words.
Yeah.
And then it's up to me to take that and be like, well, no, how dare you? I try and do this. I'm like, I never, when someone is telling me something about how they feel, it's subjective to their experience. And I trust you in our relationship to know that you're never going to use that as ammunition to upset me. So if you're telling me something from your heart about something that's going to make you feel better, there's no malice. I'm like, I'm not going to fight you back. And I'm like, ah. Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to try harder.
But also we both have so much respect for each other. We know that we would have never done anything intentionally to hurt each other, to piss each other off, things like that. Like I, even the other day when I put the Christmas tree up, right? Like I put the Christmas tree up and I was like surprised you with it. And you were so surprised and so happy. A couple of days later, you're like, hey babe, let's make that, do the Christmas tree as our tradition. Like we can do that together. And I could have been like, oh, I did that for you. I thought you would have appreciated it. Like, thrown a tantrum about it, but instead I was like, okay, so that's special to Don, so going forward I know not to surprise Don with the Christmas tree. But it wasn't an argument. It wasn't like Don comes home and is like, why did you put the tree up without me? I wanted to do that, because he knows my intentions were in a good place.
Yeah.
And you knew that I was trying to do something to make you happy and excited, which you were in the time, and then a little bit later you said, let's do that together. And again, I didn't get offended by it, because I just want to make you happy. Like, that's the whole point. It's like, you're my best friend. I want to do everything I can to, like, make you have a really great life.
You know, as you're saying this, I have, like, thousands of thoughts, because, like, the fundamentals we practice in our relationship is what I practice in relationships as a principle, right? And I think, well, why – I'm reflecting. I'm like, why don't I get offended when you tell me I fucked up in certain areas, or, like, I'm not fulfilling a certain promise or whatever it is? It's because I don't have an ego and I don't have a point to prove. Like – and I trust you to have exactly the same approach. Like we're on the same playing field. So if you're communicating with me, I don't get offended. Mm-hmm. If you're calling me out of my shit, which is all the time, I don't get offended. But I practice those same principles with my team, with people I do business with relationships, with people at shopping. I don't get offended when people are telling me something, because one, I've lost the ego. I don't care. Like I don't have a point to prove. So I'm happy to receive the information and then I'll decipher it and see where it applies. And if I can change something to make another person's day, I'm here to serve. Like, I always think about our relationship, because that's a topic, but I apply this to, like, you know, our staff and our teams. I'm like, my number one job is to serve. Like, my number one job is to show up and make sure that you're happy, make sure that your needs are taken care of. It's the same with the team. Like, my number one job is to serve and make sure that, you know, everything you do when you're in that state of service gives you satisfaction. It's not just like you're giving, it's a selfish thing, because when you do stuff for other people, it makes you feel happy, right? So that's my number one job. And you do the same for your family, for Nanny Poss and your husband.
I am serving Nanny Poss 24/7, you are correct.
No, but it's a nice way to live. So you literally want to show up and live your life what do they say, a life of service, right?
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just, it's nice. Like, I do want to do things to make you happy because I love you, because you're my best friend. And I think that is the number one thing in a relationship as well, is just genuinely liking the person.
Yeah. Not loving, like loving. Like, but
of course, but you have to just like your person. And I think that is such a key. I want to hang out with you all the time. People say all the time, how do you hang out with your husband so much? Like, don't you get sick of it? I'm like, he's my favorite person in the world. Why would I not want to spend all of my time with you? Like, it's but it's the truth. Yeah. Like, you have to, at the end of the day, just genuinely like what that person's about.
Well, people always ask us, one of the number one questions in our interviews, like, how do you guys work together? Because, and then, you know, if it's another couple, they'll be like, I'll kill that my person if I have to work with them. And I think to myself, I'm like, I can't relate to that because I love working with you every day. If we weren't working together, I think I'd be unfulfilled and I'd probably be grumpy at work, you know. I might be miserable because I enjoy showing up to work and I enjoy building this thing with you and hanging out. So I can't quite understand how people can't comprehend working with their partner. And, you know, people are different, but I find that one so fascinating.
My favorite thing about working with you is that we have the same goal and we have the same vision. So, I mean, I think that most of our fights come, like, are business related, to do with things with the businesses. Mm. But in saying that, we also have the same vision. So we'll be having a fight and an argument, but it is because we're working towards the same goal. So we both have the same goal in mind and we both have the same vision. So it's never like we're fighting against each other, because we are actually fighting for that same one thing, which is success in the business. But we just have different opinions. And then we work together to find out which is the right opinion, of course.
Yeah, and that's a fun process.
So
it's usually yours.
But I think that's my favorite thing about like being in business with you and working together, is that we have the same end goal. And at the end of the day, if I've had a shitty day at work, I know I've said this before, if you've heard interviews from me before, you know this, but if at the end of the day, if I've had a shitty day at work, I don't need to explain it to Don. He understands every single thing that's gone on in my day. Because
if you've had a shitty day,
I've had a shitty day, Don's had a shitty day, and if we can celebrate successes together as well, which is really nice, so we're able to, when we have a win, we both understand the win, and that is a really, really good thing. But I would say most of our arguments and our fights do come from work, like they are business related. And I think that's just like a normal thing, because we both are opinionated people and we both want what's best for the business. Yeah. But it's cool. It's our communication that allows us to work through these things and not to take it home with us. I think when we have an issue or a fight or an argument, it doesn't drag on. We've never had like been in a fight for like days.
No.
Plus, if I'm trying to give you the silent treatment, I'm so bad at it, because I'll think of something to tell you. Like, I'll be like, I'm pissed off at you, but then I see a meme and I'm like, fuck, like now I can't send Don that meme because I'm not talking to him. Like, it ends up just being worse for me than it is for you, because I have more things to tell. I have things to tell you, but I'm trying to ignore you. I'm like, no, let's just work through the problem.
That's a lot for you to deal with.
It is a lot. I want to share a lot of things with you, but if I'm ignoring you and giving you the silent treatment, it's just punishing myself.
So what is the moral here?
The moral of the story is that you need to communicate. Silent treatment isn't the winner. It's not how you resolve an argument. I think communication is just so important.
And not being distracted.
Not being distracted. What do you mean?
No, I think sometimes I even look at it with projects and work that I'm dealing with. Like, sometimes you can get so focused on all these external things that don't necessarily add value to life, and you can be distracted from the things that are important, i.e. our relationship, or i.e. my family, or the things that, you know, can't bounce back. So, you know, making sure that you take stock of your life and you're not distracted by the things that are not important.
I think it's just important to know that, like time is short as well. Like, you have to work out what your priority is, and it really is, like, our relationship and our family.
What I was thinking of as well is, you know, a lot of people always think that I'm super obsessed with work. Like, work's my entire life. I work 100 hours a week and I never have a life, and how do I manage this with you? But I always think to myself, I'm like, I have so much time to spend with you. And my I love everything I do in work, but the thing I love most is just hanging out with you on the couch.
Yeah.
At home, just chilling. Like I think the point I'm trying to get to is, like, a lot of people get super distracted by their careers and their work, that that's their sense of fulfillment because they keep chasing this thing. Like, I'm as a human, I think I'm very content.
Mm.
I am obsessed with my life and my job. I'm so grateful. Like, I never take it for granted. But I also don't take my family for granted, my relationship with you for granted, because if I have to make a choice, obviously I'm going to make this choice. And I think that for me is quite an important concept.
Cutie.
Yeah. All right. We get some questions because this is getting soppy.
Well, we have this little mug of questions that some of the team made. I haven't seen them.
The team made?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
So I guess you'll pick one, answer it. I'll pick one, answer it. Okay, cool. Yeah?
Me first?
Yeah.
No. Who's responsible for this? All right. Question. So ask myself the question.
Yeah, you have to answer that question.
I have to ask you the question.
No, you answer the question.
What is the biggest thing you bicker about? What is the biggest thing I bicker about?
No, we bicker. You could just answer.
Oh, what do we bicker about? Yeah. What do we bicker about?
It's your question.
I'm trying to think. We don't really bicker. What do we bicker about?
I'd say, like, it's work, right? Like, it's just, like, having conflicting ideas at work.
No, just recently, subject line for the email.
The email, yeah. We did just – we had a bicker.
We just had a bicker literally just before that.
True. We literally just had a bicker like 10 minutes before your recording. Because
you have an idea for a subject line for email. I have a different strategy and idea so entirely. So
what are we doing? We're doing A-B testing on our conflicting ideas.
We're doing both. There's a compromise. Yeah. And then let me tell you guys what's going to happen after this. So we're going to say – wait.
People might not understand what all that meant, so just explain it.
So an A-B test, so if we send an EDM, we can actually set it up so we can send different variations of the same thing. So one group of people are going to receive Till's subject line and one group of people are going to receive my subject line. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to win and the analytics are going to come back and they're going to be perfect, great. Great opens, good success, and then you're going to be upset with me.
I thought that story was going to go completely different. But what is going to – what if you guys are listening and you know what email we're talking about, have a guess whose subject line. Like, which did you – when you receive your email, let me know if you think you got Don's subject line or my subject line. It is to do with the lookbook.
Give me your question.
No, I've got to do it. Oh, yeah. I have to pick one.
Yeah.
It's to do with the lookbook for the out-of-service collection. So let me know whose subject line you got, okay?
You're gonna pull your own.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is a fun game. We should have started with this one.
What do you think life is teaching us right now?
Well, that's deep. Go.
Okay. Life is teaching us not to make decisions, like, rapidly. Like,
yes, I just had this discussion with someone yesterday.
Yeah, that's what life is teaching us, because Don and I have a family rule, I guess, that we don't – most decisions don't need to be made immediately. You can sleep on a decision. You can take your time to think about the decision. If a decision requires – you to make it immediately, it might not be the right
one. Don't get caught by those salespeople that are trying to close the deal immediately.
Sign this contract now. You've got to sign it today. Don't sign it.
Number one piece of advice that Till and I live by, we never get pressurized into a decision.
Because there are quite a lot of things that we've kind of been thinking about and we haven't made a decision on immediately. And God, the universe, whatever you believe in, has shown us the right answer. Because we haven't made the decision at the spur of the moment, we've left it, and we're kind of waiting for the right answer to come to us.
Yeah, that's not to be confused with, you know, take your time. Like, if you're confident about a decision and you know it's the right thing to do, be quick, be fast. That's the other thing. We always move fast. We always try and absolutely make a decision and work with it. But if you're feeling pressurized or anxious about a decision, don't commit.
Yeah, I've never felt anxious about a decision. Like, I've never had anxiety when making a decision. No, how do I phrase this? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, you just said it recently.
Yeah. So if I am making a decision and I feel anxious about the action of making a decision, it's not the right decision. Yeah. I shouldn't go ahead with it. I've never felt anxiety making the right decision.
Yes, correct.
So if I have a scenario and I have to make a decision about something and I start to feel anxiety about it, it's not the right decision. I know that.
Facts.
All right, let's do one more each.
One more each. This is fun. Let's do a few. Name 10 things you love about Don.
No, but you have to answer yourself.
What is the one thing you can't wait to... What is the one thing you can't wait to do experience together? Is it something we haven't experienced? For me, look, I can't wait to get to Paris next week. I can't wait for a holiday. No, like not because we're clucky or anything.
Oh,
or
I was going to say the same thing.
Not, but I think of everything we've achieved in life, and like, you know, we've worked, I don't know, we've ticked off so many boxes in our lives. Like the one thing that I'm really excited for down the track, mum and like family, don't, no one read into this, but is to start a family with you.
Yeah, have a little baby.
That's cute. All right.
That's cute. Okay, my last question. What do I do that allows you to feel most comfortable being yourself, and why? Okay, we'll both answer, yeah? What do I do that allows you to feel most comfortable being yourself, and why? That's really sweet. Okay, what do I do? Well, something that makes me feel really comfortable being myself around you, and something that I love is that when, like, you dance with me, we sing and we dance at home. I'm getting emotional because it's so special to me. We sing and we dance at home all the time. And also, when I laugh, like, I will do this laugh, and I laugh so fucking hard sometimes. Look, I'm crying. I laugh so fucking hard sometimes, and it makes me cry, and it's, like, uncontrollable. I can't stop. And Don just laughs at me. Like, he doesn't, like, you don't, that's really, I don't know why I'm crying about it, but it's really special to me, because it's, like, you just, like, accept me. Like, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, I can't stop laughing. Like,
yeah, you have the ugliest laughy cry face. You know that you've seen Kim's ugly cry face?
You're ugly so rude. But, like, the fact that, like, you laugh with me, like, it's never, like, you don't get annoyed by it. Like, you just, you do that smile. It's like, it's just, like, it's accepting.
Yeah.
And I can't help it. I laugh so hard. And it will be, like, the most random thing. Like, half the time it's not even a funny thing. But I just can't stop laughing. And you accept it. And I fucking love it. Like, it's just, it's really sweet. I'm crying about it.
I love
it. It's really sweet. It's, like, one of the things that makes me feel very, like, seen and very loved. Do you have any?
Yeah, it's the same. Like, when we are just being silly at home. Like, yeah. It's the world can never see that.
When we dance with each other. Like,
when we dance with each other, when we dance at each other.
When we saw performing. The Beckham documentary and they were dancing in the kitchen, we were like, oh, that's not new to us.
Yeah, it's like we do this every day.
But like Don will just like start dancing at home and I'll join in.
We also make songs.
Yeah.
We also, so to be honest, I think this is what I wish. Like I wish I had a TikTok social media career outside of our current profiles, because it would just be funny as fuck.
Yeah.
And we
would if we be were to, like non-filtered by this at the start.
If we didn't care about filters and you know trying to make sure that we are, you know, good leaders, and that would be the funniest thing in the world. And some of my jokes are really bad, and you always support them, so I really appreciate that.
This was a really cute episode.
There's one more.
Oh, there's only one left.
Okay, you get to it.
Okay, where is it? It's here. When was the first time you knew that you loved me?
When was the first time I knew that I loved you? I, like I used to love a lot of activities outside of our relationship, like, you know, sport, rugby, friends, blah, blah, blah. I would never compromise. Like, I used to DJ. I used to, like, have, like, all these things. And I would never, like, I would never give any of that up for anything or anyone. Like, I was committed to all of those activities. And then I remember that I just wanted to hang out with you. There was like one, I think it was one day that I chose you over all of that. And I was like, wow, this is it.
Love. Pause.
Yeah.
You're such a sweetie.
Ugh, this episode was gross.
So cute. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching, if you've watched it as well.
And it's so good to be on video now.
Yeah, it's really nice. We'll speak to you next week.
Love you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Bye.